Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Away, we're an hour and 4 minutes into the show, and we have a major, major sporting event here in the city, and you two haven't even mentioned it yet.
Texas high school playoffs? Football playoffs?
No, major national championship.
That basketball thing? The basketball thing?
You don't even know, do you? You're not even joking.
No, soccer.
No.
I'm kidding. They got the College World Series is back up.
The College World Series has never been in Houston. Why would you? What?
No, the Super Regionals are going on.
Oh. Well, let me just, and you tell me. Then after you hear.
Probably golf.
Oh. Hinako Shibuno.
Is that answer? Is it yes? It's golf? When you go into your Japanese voice?
A. Lim Kim. Moriya Jutanagan.
Do they hold the LPGA championships here or something?
It's the U.S. Open.
The women's U.S. Open?
Yeah, it's here.
Is it really?
Yes.
Are you the women's U.S. Open is here?
Yes.
Where?
At Champions.
Oh. Are you going? Deal.
You think?
I mean, I don't know any of the people you've just said.
Amy Olsen, Leeds.
Yep, I remember her.
No, you don't know who she is. You never heard of her.
Yeah, she went to Oklahoma State, played college golf at Stanford.
She didn't. She's a younger sister.
Oklahoma State at Stanford.
Everyone does postgrad at Oklahoma State.
She's the anonymous younger sister of the Olsen twins.
Mm. Yep.
No, she's not.
Chris Olsen's daughter, former cap guy before that he got.
Greg Olsen.
By the power.
Greg Olsen's cousin? The Seattle Titans' cousin?
Nope, none of that. Oh. None of that is in play here. But surprisingly, I'm telling you, there's the Hee Jin Choi.
Surprisingly, a ton of South Korean
flags? They're not at the top. That's the surprising thing.
Okay, come see me after round three.
Well, we have an American that leads, Amy Olsen.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
okay, you got her. I got the feel.
And Jarena Pillar is right there.
Are you watching today, John? No.
Yeah, probably.
Your initial reaction. Well,
you initially just immediately said no.
Actually, they're good though. They are good. They're really good.
I know they're great players. No, they're
obviously really good. Yeah, you just don't want to.
And you know what? I just don't want to see them. No, I actually I am. I'm going to go have lunch over at Wildcat, and we'll probably watch some of it. Yes.
Are you though?
I'm in LA.
Are you though?
Yes. Yes, I watch women's golf. I do. I think.
Are you going to go to Wildcat, eat, and sit down and watch?
Yeah.
Are they going to have it on, or are you going to have to ask?
Oh, no. They'll have it on. They have the golf channel on all the time.
Okay.
And you know, they're good.
No one's saying they're not. We know they're the best of what they do.
And you know what? It's tightly bunched. There's a lot of good players, and now there's some.
Who's your favorite golfer on the women's tour now?
Probably Stacey Lewis. She's wonderful. She's involved in the spirit up there, collecting food for the Houston area with the Houston Food Bank. She's wonderful.
She's local?
Yeah. She's from the Woodlands. She was on with us on the Charlie Epp show. And she's a wonderful person.
Can I ask?
She had a child and it's hard to get back out there and get your game back going. And she's got a young daughter, I believe.
Oh, that's nice. So the most important question is, because you always ask it, what's the most important question, John?
The most important question is how well does she play?
No, not usually.
To me, yes.
That's
always my question.
Mm, really?
Yes. Yeah.
I've never really heard the whole, are they great at what they do when it comes to this sort of thing? It's like,
You need to check out this Megan Kang.
Why do I need to check out Megan Kang?
Well, she's such a good player.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's her best attribute?
Her game, her swing.
Is that true?
It is true.
Why do you want me to look at Meghan Keane?
Because she's a great young player in the game today.
Oh, I thought you might have had some other interpretation of why I should watch.
No.
I'm looking at her right now. I don't know anything about her. She's a Masshole.
She is?
She's from Brockton, Mass.
She's from Brockton, Mass?
Brockton.
Well, I hope she's...
Brockton. Straight. Isn't that where... Brockton, Mass, I think, is where Marvin Hagler was from, I believe.
Was he?
Yeah, I think I want to say that was Brockton, Mass.
Well,
for some reason, that's what
I don't know. I don't know that she has any relation
to Marvin Hagler.
No, yeah, he
seems unlikely.
Well, he was born in Newark.
But you don't know. You don't know.
That's why I said it seems.
It would be odd.
Seems unlikely.
Yeah, right.
Excuse me, Meghan King. Do you have any relation to Marvin Hagler? Since you're both from, allegedly from the same spot, even though we can't even trust Lance
let me
on
see.
That.
Brockton. He was from. He was born in Newark.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I know there was a boxer who was from Brockton. Here he is. His family moved to
Danielle
Brockton.
Danielle Kang is another Kang that you need to check out.
Why do I need?
I'm just you. Just
why are you so interested in the Kang family?
Well, wow, I'm looking at the images. I don't see a lot of swings going on here.
Yeah,
I don't see swings.
No, Danielle Kang. You need to. Yeah,
I'm not
check her out. She's a great young player.
You know, Dan.
Yeah, no, I'm sure.
If you're
kind of like Anna Kournikova was a good young tennis player.
If you're out there looking. There are multiple Meg. Is there multiple Meghan Kangs?
I think there are.
Because there's a Kang with the KH.
And there's the other one.
With just the K-A-N-G.
Yes, the other one.
Okay, because I found the K-H-A-N-G, and I'm like, why is John asking me to look at this golfer?
No, it's the other one.
Huh.
She's great. They're both great young people, though.
Oh, you've met them, then?
No, I've never met them. Never met them.
Scott says, I wish the Heat were dumb enough to flip Jimmy Butler for James Harden.
No.
I don't think
they're dumb enough.
No, they're not.
And Harden is a better player than Jimmy Butler. But Jimmy Butler just is more about championships. So Steven Jackson had some harsh words for James. And we're gonna have to bleep some of it out, so we'll work on cleaning some of it up. But
I'll take you behind the curtain because how our setup is for the stream, they can hear anything that's like being played through a certain channel. So I have to turn off the stream to play it and record it because
they
will get just how it's set up they would get
the stream can hear it let the stream hear it that's fine.
Still very aggressive
so if you want to hear the uncut version go to our Twitch
we don't only oh, the Twitch would hear it. Yeah
that's fine right
I mean it's
don't
not
they
great
hear it?
I don't know if they do want to hear it
I would want to hear it
it's 3 minutes of bleep you you bleeps are weird.
No. Steven Jackson has some stuff for James Harden.
Yeah, I know. He talks about him. He questions why he's doing what he's doing when Steven Silas is now the coach. I'll clean it up.
He must like Steven Silas, or
he doesn't like I don't know if the optics is the word I should be using, but he doesn't like that James is ditching when you've got a young African American head coach in tow,
getting his first shot, and then you're going to make it hard for him.
Yeah.
Steven Jackson really. It's just true. I mean, James is honestly the way Kevin Durant did stuff, rubbed people the wrong way. The way James is doing it is going to rub people the wrong way. And the difference is Kevin Durant had a higher respect level from NBA guys and fans. And James doesn't, despite his greatness, which is one of the things the Rockets have just never The Rockets relationship with James has been, they really have put him on a pedestal. The entire time he's been here, James has been on a pedestal and elevated.
No wonder he feels the way he does.
And now when James doesn't get what he wants, because an NBA guy told, I think it was Shams. I don't know if it was Shams. I saw an article yesterday that said, this is the first time James has been told no on something was this trade. James is definitely going to act up. James is going to act up. That's a lock because he's never been told no by that organization on anything. So... Well, we'll see what happens here in Houston. I'm not hopeful about this season. All this, if John Wall can return back to his explosive self, and if David Johnson can get back to running the ball fast, and if Boogie Cousins is dunking on people, I'm like, what are y'all talking about? Achilles injuries? You're expecting guys to go back to themselves?
Did you see the schedule?
Yeah.
I mean.
Early?
No. The first half of the season, They only have 2 days off. Like
three times. Yeah, you got to jam in the games.
No. It's every other day or back to backs. It's unbelievable
to get the first half jammed in. Yeah,
yeah, it is stupid. And with two guys with Achilles, I mean,
that's great. Yeah, preferably you would be saying Boogie Cousins is not. We don't want him playing back to back. Maybe even John Wall. But how are you going to do that?
Well, you
catch a bunch of L's.
John Wall plays one day, Boogie plays the next. John Wall plays one, Boogie plays the next.
Listen, I don't think it is outrageous that if James isn't here, somebody with some talent is here. That's how that works in the trade. It's not like James just disappears unless James were to sit out. And if James set out, then the Rockets might not get to 20 wins.
No. No. Not in a set. Well, without James, no. I mean, because you can't play John Wall every other day. You just can't. Uh-uh. You just can't.
Well, you have to assume he stays healthy
anyway.
And Boogie
too. And Boogie too.
Yeah.
All right. 713-780-3776. So he'll try to clean that up, and we'll have it on the other side, hopefully. But right now, I want to talk about Todd and Letitia. They were selling their home. They went with the Loken Group from Keller Williams. 2 days on the market, 27 showings and 11 offers. The home sold for $5,000 over the list price. This happens all the time. Now, they have a buy before you sell program. You're afraid. You want to sell your home. Taking a while. That home that you want to buy is going to be gone. So how do you buy before you sell your home? And ask the Loken Group. They get this job done all the time. You want to sell without the hassle, the stress, and everything else that goes along? How about an immediate cash offer for your home? If you want to achieve top dollar for your home, all you got to do is call the Loken Group. 281-861-4624. 281-861-4624. The average for the Loken Group to sell the home is like 15 days. For everybody else, for the average dealer, 51 days. That is unbelievable how much better. It's better than three times. Go with the Loken Group. They're the best. LOKEN. TheLokenGroup.com, 281-861-4624.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back. 817 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number to get in here to hang with us. 713-780-3776. Peter King talked to Amy Palchik. Now, he talked to her a while ago.
Oh, okay.
Before Amy Palchik got fired, I talked to her about Jack Easterby, and I said,
you know why that's done? That is done because that protects her from snatching up her money. Here's the deal. Somebody else came out and said, I'm sorry, guys, but Brian Gain and Bill O'Brien and Amy Palchik were not available for comment on the article.
Yeah.
Cool. You do realize that they would all be in breach of their contract buyouts and all that stuff.
I play golf with Chris Olsen.
Yeah.
And I ask him all the time, like, hey, so tell me about this and this. He's like, I can't say anything. I can't say anything because,
right,
you know, I've got a confidentiality agreement in place.
If you don't think that any of those, the aforementioned.
You can give, they could give background, but they have to do it anonymously.
Yeah, obviously. And the Texans can know all they want that this is a hit piece or whatever. But it wasn't, I don't know that, it was a hit piece. They sprayed Jack with bullets. Like, that was a drive-by where they stopped, got out of the car, walked up to the house. Like,
well, we'll see if he's the godfather and he survives in the hospital.
Well, it was like Gangs of London. Man, it was a brutal gore fest fight scenes with hatchets and buzzsaws and all that stuff, only it was one way. They were not fighting back against Isaiah.
Well, no, it was more like the godfather getting shoot outside where Frodo is, not Frodo, he's fumbling the coffee and he tries to get his
Fredo.
Gun. Fredo. For same thing. And he tries to get his gun
way
out.
Way different.
Okay.
But yeah.
No, but the godfather survived.
Well,
we'll see if Jack Easterby survives.
So here's something that I was told just last night. Out of nowhere, a friend of mine in football goes, let me pull it up. He goes, Jack's going to be real nice in that building now because he needs all the allies he can get. You can bet there will be a rebuttal written by someone for Jack.
Oh, yeah.
So Jack's going to get...
Yeah, and again, Jack's polarizing. He's got his people that believe him, that like him,
that
think he's positive. And then there's I
bet Brandon Cooks comes out today and capes for Jack.
I bet a few players do.
Yeah, I bet a few players do because Jack does have people who are definitely on his side. Jack just has no business being a football guy.
No.
Like, he has no business running a team. He doesn't know what he's doing. He helped Bill ruin the team. He has no business. Now, I'm not saying he doesn't have business in the NFL, but now his reputation has been permanently stained as being a climber, a backstabber. And then there was stuff in there that was racial connotations. Where Jack would, tries to fit in with the guys and says things like, you need to run like you're playing. We want you playing like you're playing in a backyard with Ray Ray and Kiki and them.
Hmm.
Okay. Well, I know what Jack's doing there, but if you're not one of the guys, if you're not somebody who clicks with them,
you don't look like one of the guys, really.
No, but you can be a white guy who could say something, and you're in the locker room, and
well, if you're trying to say it, and Jack, the guys all laugh.
They called him tryhard. The quote was he was a tryhard. Well, if he, and I heard this before, that there's people who think he's a real corny guy that tries to get too close to the players. So that was already out there. So Jack could be in a lot of trouble, except that he's owed a lot of money. Jack is getting paid more than a lot of NFL GMs. I want that to sink in. While Bill O'Brien was still here, Jack was given a contract that is higher than many NFL GMs. And he was not even a GM. Now, supposedly, he's telling everyone around football that, and this is before this piece came out. He's been, because I think maybe he knew that it was coming out. He's been telling people over the last couple of weeks, hey, I'm just in conversations. I'm not a football guy. I'm just doing character coaching stuff. He's trying to get away from any of this, saying, I'm just doing character coach stuff. I'm not doing football stuff. And people have pressed him and said, Jack, don't BS us. We know what's going on.
So back to Peter King. He said, I talked to Amy before she got fired. I talked to her about Jack Easterby. This is interesting. You know what's really weird about this story? I think people, Amy said, out in the world. No. I said, you know what's really weird about this story? I think people out in the world think Jack Easterby has a lot more to do with what happens at the very top of the Houston Texans than he really does. Now, I'm not saying he's without authority. He certainly does have some authority, but the football decisions until October 5th or whatever day Bill O'Brien got fired, every football decision, although Easterby had a say in it, every football decision since he walked in the door belonged to Bill O'Brien. And that is absolutely true. Bill O'Brien made the final decision on everything.
They belonged to him.
Yes.
That's what Amy said.
Yes.
But here's the deal. Jack was heavily involved in every one of
those. That might have got Amy fired. Yeah. Huh. Jack Easterby's not as important as he thinks he is around here. You're fired.
Yeah, but he didn't. But that this is the first time it's running, though.
No, right.
Yeah.
Well, or maybe he found
out. See, here's the thing. Jack has been involved in, you know it and I know it. He's been involved in all of these moves, and they painted the picture that somebody, probably O'Brien, wanted to make sure that they knew, oh, no. Don't you, because it even said, even though most people believe that Bill O'Brien was solely responsible for the DeAndre Hopkins trade, Bill O'Brien wants you to know that Jack Easterby was as well. And here's an example how. And in this article in Sports Illustrated, it should be required reading for every Houston Texans fan. And in this article, it says how he was basically, remember now, this is a character coach. If he doesn't believe you have, when I say character coach, it's culture. He wants to bring his culture, his idea of culture of winning. And I'm not saying it's wrong. A lot of his culture stuff isn't. But if you don't fit his culture, you have to go. And what he did and what he and Bill O'Brien tried to claim no knowledge of the Brian game firing. Like, I wasn't. So Bill kept his hands clean by having Jack Easterby there. Jack Easterby said Cal made the decision to fire Brian Gain based on the deep dive of information he had. Cal isn't doing deep dives on a guy he just hired who had his first draft. That was done because Brian Gain, and because Jack Easterby, the culture specialist and character coach and all that, had his own grading scale that he got to the owner. Well, I guarantee that's how it happened.
Make no mistake. And here's this goes on, and just like that, just like the Brian Gain thing. Jack Easterby did not fire Amy Palchik. The club president did, King said. We know that. Jamie Roots came in here the day after and said, yes, I fired her.
Yes, Jamie did fire her.
Having said all that, Jack does have the ear of the owner, Cal McNair, who is not nearly as decisive or authoritative as his father was. Okay, water is wet. And I do think he is going to have the ability to be influential in the GM and perhaps in the head coach that they hire. But I also don't think he's going to make either decision on his own. No. But Amy Palchik wasn't fired by Jack Easterby. You don't think Jack Easterby, and we've heard behind the scenes, Jack Easterby was not enthralled with Amy Palchik. You don't think that he didn't poison the Amy Palchik water? You don't think he didn't poison the Brian Gain water?
There is evidence. There is evidence that Jack is a master whisperer and manipulator of situations. There is a master. And so this is what was told to me about Jack Easterby, was somebody who used to work with him. They said the thing with Jack, that he goes, I understand a lot of what Jack wants to do and all that stuff. He goes, the thing where I lose respect for him is Jack used his powers and his strengths, which are communicating, strengthening relationships, ingratiating himself. He used his strengths to manipulate situations in his favor, and it wasn't for team benefit. It was for personal benefit. He said, I can't forgive that. And this is a guy who has worked with Jack Easterby, who said, I cannot forgive a guy who uses his strengths to manipulate situations to benefit himself personally and not help the team. And he said the things that he has done, while some of them he thinks have helped the team, how he got in that position was by using what he does well to manipulate a situation so that he would benefit.
You know, and it's funny in the story, and you can certainly see this, when he was at South Carolina and he was with people behind the scenes, assistant ADs or whatever, he was all focused on them and talking to them.
Yeah.
But they said as soon as a coach or a player walked in the room, an important coach or a player walked in the room, it was like you didn't exist now. It was like you just totally did, because Jack Easterby was just totally focused on that person and making sure that that person felt, you know, that Jack Easterby was concerned about them.
It's an understanding of who's the power guy? Mm-hmm. Where's the bread buttered and how can I get in? No, Jack is a master in interpersonal communication. You know what's funny? I went to Tulane. I went to U of H. The most valuable class I ever took was at a junior college when I was trying to get my Texas residency back when I came back from Louisiana. I was at Wharton County Junior College doing a year of what felt like probation or prison at Wharton JUCO. And there was a guy who taught a class called interpersonal communication, and it was the greatest class I've ever taken. This guy was a good professor, but it talked about how you communicate with others, how you listen, how you bring out. It basically is the art of BS is what it is. I mean, and I say that with all due respect, learning how to communicate with others, learning the tricks of the trade of how to, where you go to communicate, who you talk to and things like that. You can take all the microeconomics courses you want. You can take sociology, but things like interpersonal communication, that is important for everybody in every area. And a lot of people don't have that skill. Jack is a master of it. You do not rise this high without a special, special gift of interpersonal communication and the ability to read situations and ingratiate yourself. This is an impossible rise that Jack has made. That's why people around the league and Mike Florio and everybody are like, now, wait a minute. This is not normal. How can an Alonzo Highsmith you bring up Zoe all the time. There are super talented people in the NFL who never even get interviews, and this guy's an executive vice president of football making more than NFL GMs?
Well, but it wouldn't be an issue. It would not be an issue if it wasn't for the horrific, horrific decisions. And the
he would have got away with it. It wasn't for you meddling kids.
This barrel ride down the falls of this organization. Yeah. I mean, honestly, if they were still good, everybody'd be like, "Well, who is Jackie?"
You're right.
You know, but when you add up all of the firings, when you add up the losses, when you add up the stupid trades, when you add up everything that has gone on with. I mean, it's like, what? Now you ask, well, who the hell is Jack Easterby? Now you ask that, because why is Jack Easterby in a position of power? And oh, by the way, maybe that has a lot to do with why this organization sucks.
We've been telling you about Jack Easterby for a while because it's important. It's important because he has that much power over an owner who is a very weak owner. And that's why it's been essential. And frankly, I think this article coming out could save the Texans. I mean, it really could say, because if Jack, but now, even if Jack is in the building, I think this article will effectively emasculate him. I really do.
Yeah.
I don't know how, because all eyes are going to be on anything that Jack does from now on. And he's telling people, I'm not a football guy, I'm a character coach. He's telling people, other people in the league, he's trying to get away from all of that stuff. I've got a little story for you off the air about that. But so now there's a better chance because of this article. There is a better chance the Texans will have a legitimate candidate.
That's right. No, that's the bottom line. Jack Easterby, I don't give a rat's ass, but he could. I don't care if he and Cal, if he talks into Cal's ear all the time. You know what we need? We need a good football organization here, and Jack Easterby is hindering that. I want to talk about you want to bet on your, what are they, 2.5 this week against the Bears? I kind of like the Texans this week. I like them at Chicago. It's not going to be freezing cold, I don't believe. But if you want to bet on that game, all you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio has not only, I mean, we're an NFL, obviously. This is an NFL country, and we bet on the NFL, and that's what we love. But, man, if you know anything about Chinese table tennis or Russian volleyball or, like, stupid soccer or something, well, all you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio. And you can bet on all of it. And you know what? You got inside information if you know about Chinese table tennis. If you know who the great players are. You want to make some money? Yeah, you can use that knowledge. I guess that's knowledge. You can use that to your benefit by going to mybookie.ag, promo code radio, betting, winning, and getting paid. Because that's what you do. You bet, you win, you get paid. And mybookie.ag, promo code radio, is easy to collect from, so that's not a problem. But you also have everything that you could possibly want to play. You're looking for the best way to win and get paid? Mybookie.ag, promo code radio.
ESPN 97.5.
I'm in love with the cocoa. I'm in love with the cocoa. I got it for the lolo. I'm in love with the cocoa. I'm in love with the cocoa.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
833 ESPN 97.5. All right, Steven Jackson. We got it. All good. Okay. Is it the whole thing going to be beeps? Because Steven likes to throw words around.
I mean, it's about a minute, and there's four beeps.
Yeah, it's not a ton.
So Steven Jackson is talking about James Harden. And, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. But man, James Harden wanting out of here is not sitting well with Steven Jackson.
I don't know, man. Maybe it's just me, bro. I don't know. But you is weird. One, to me, it's just simple. James Harden don't want to be held accountable. D'Antoni is the worst defensive coach in NBA history. Ain't gonna win. Ain't won as the head coach, and he easy to run over. So James is trying to continue to be around close to D'Antoni, so he can't be held accountable. And then again, what type of dude is you? The Rockets finally get a young black coach. A young black coach get an opportunity, and you don't want to show up to camp. You don't want to play for him. How that look? And you wonder why every time a black coach get a job, they put him in a bullshit situation. Look what you're doing. What a real one would do is go play for that black coach and make him look good and build with John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins, some real ones. But obviously, you want to chase rappers around. I ain't even got to say nothing.
Chase rappers around. So here's the thing. James is, what he's basically telling you is, A, he's not accountable. We know that there's some of those issues. But what we do know is that James is not a team guy. He's not a team first guy. James wants what's best for James. He's not the only player in the league that's like that. But he's not a team first guy. He's not a guy that's going to go out of his way to do what's best for the team. James is going to do what's best for James. It's already been laid out by his mom laid it out and said he wants championship, and that's it. LeBron wants what's best for LeBron, but he wants it in a team setting, and he is a team guy. LeBron is a team guy. Now, it doesn't mean he gets along with all the teammates he's had, but Jordan didn't get along with his teammates, and Jordan wasn't always a great team guy. Jordan wanted to win more than anything. But Jordan also cared about Jordan a lot. Like, he didn't care about Scottie Pippen's contract. Like, that was a dumb contract. Too bad. Get in here, Scottie. But Jordan was obsessed with winning. I don't think James is obsessed with winning. And I know James isn't a team guy. You can look at it from the moves that he's made. There's not a whole lot of sacrificing that James makes. Steven Jackson's just calling it what it is.
Well, okay. So Stephen A. called out the Nets for when they hired Steve Nash because black coaches don't get that opportunity. Is this that same kind of opportunity for Steven Silas?
Oh, 100%.
Well,
this is not a bad opportunity at all.
This is a good team. Normally, a team like this doesn't come open.
It's not favorable. It's not a favorable situation from winning a championship. But if you have James Harden, you're going to be a playoff team. Like, Steven Silas has a chance to show what he can do. It's not a terrible situation. You're not.
No.
This is not a terrible rebuild.
But it's not the Nets either that have.
No.
That's a championship aspiration team.
Yeah. And this came. Isn't. And look, that hiring came directly from a superstar.
Yeah.
That was Kevin Durant's hiring.
Well, right.
KD hired him. That Kevin Durant wanted him. Kevin Durant works out with them. That was a Kevin Durant hiring.
Right. But you, so. I mean, do you agree, Del? Do you agree with Stephen A. because we talked about it after it happened. But is that the case that guys don't walk into, African Americans don't walk into jobs like that?
Well, Stephen A., you know, with that was his biggest issue. He didn't really put that out there initially. He got some heat and then he explained it when Steve Nash got his job. He walked into Kevin Durant and Kyrie. I'm trying to think of guys with ready-made opportunities. Like, Steven Silas, when he got the job, was walking into two All-Stars, two former MVPs. I can't think of another guy who had that. I mean, Ty Lue, as an interim, got LeBron James. That's Mike Brown got LeBron James. Remember when he got his first job?
There have been black coaches who have been in favorable situations. But this is a young, like, this is, well, Ty was too, but this was, it is a good situation, and And basically what Steven Jackson is saying, now, I don't know, does that just make Steven Jackson right because we're on the side of, hey, James, come in here? Like, James isn't doing something that LeBron hasn't done and KD hasn't done by saying, I want to win a championship. So the best way to win a championship is go to a good team already. It's not like that hasn't been done in the NBA. And Steven Jackson is just saying, would Steven Jack? I think Steven Jackson would, even if the Texans, the Rockets had a white coach who came in, a Hispanic coach, partially Filipino coach, like, or maybe full-on Filipino, like in Miami. I still think Steven Jackson would think it's kind of lame what James is doing, running around with a rapper when camp's going on and stuff like that. But this one is a little more personal to him. And I get it. You know, not necessarily my fight to fight. Steven Jackson feels like it's his fight to fight. But it is just another layer of how you're going to see that there are people who just can't get behind James Harden, who are former players or, you know, people beyond just fans or media members. Because he doesn't do things like he's just not all about ball. People respect guys who are about ball. Former players respect it. They may not like him all the time, but they'll respect guys. Like, I guarantee you, players may not like Green from
Gerald.
No,
Draymond.
Golden State. Draymond Green. God bless. But no, I bet you they respect his desire to win.
For forgetting his name.
Yeah. But I bet you they respect his desire on the floor and how hard he plays and stuff like that. I bet you they respect that. Mm. I bet you they don't question whether or not he's all about ball.
And the something extra. Steven Jackson played for Paul Silas. Couple years with the Bobcats.
Okay.
So that might be something else there.
Was Steven on that staff?
I don't know if he was there. It was in the 2010-11 range. I don't know if Steven Silas was there. I just know that at a minimum, Steven Jackson played for Paul Silas for a couple seasons. So there may be another connection there.
Let's see. Steven Silas's Wikipedia. When was it? 2000?
Yeah, he was there. He was there with the Bobcats for nine seasons.
Yeah.
So yeah, he played under Steven Silas.
Well, now there's a bias
when he was an assistant.
There's a bias then for Steven Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Dell following the money.
Mm-hmm.
In our special. This is an ESPN 97.5 special investigative report. Our on the scene investigative reporter Dell Olale has his report here outside the lines on Steven Jackson, Steven Silas, and the curious case of James Harden. And this is where you get to come in.
Excuse me, Mr. Stack 5. I believe that's your Twitter handle. _Stack5_. I got a question. Isn't it true that at one point in the early 2010s, you played for not only Paul Silas, but Steven Silas? Is it a possibility that has shaded your opinion of James Harden leaving Steven Silas? Answer the question, sir.
Objection, Your Honor. Argumentative. I'll allow it. No. Answer the question, Mr. Jackson. Stack 5.
_Stack5_. Please answer the question.
Allow it despite the irregular Instagram.
Or would you rather be referred to as the Trill Stack 5? Which one, sir?
Bleep you.
That is not a proper response, sir.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah? Well, yeah. Maybe he was on that step. I don't remember.
You don't remember if you played for him?
I don't recall. I'm going to take the fifth.
Well, if Wiki is anything to believe Pro Basketball Reference, it says you did play under Steven and Paul Silas.
And isn't it true, sir?
And isn't it true that this could be clouding your opinion of this entire situation?
See, look at Dell's just...
Nope.
This is why we have the best show.
Can you be trusted, sir?
This is why we have the best show. We invented Game of Thrones references for Easterby and Bill and everything else that Sports Illustrated frankly stole, or somebody stole...
And gave it to them.
Gave it to them, number one. Number two, we have our own investigative journalist. Number three, we have a gavel that we can pound at any time. Number four, John speaks fluent Spanish.
See.
Number five, I'm a pit master.
You're not.
Number six, Number six, mm-hmm. I can do a little bit of breakdancing, although it's more just popping.
Are you
going to
be in the Olympics?
No, I'm not going. No, my days of doing net spinning and stuff like that are over. I still will do some popping and locking.
Could you
and some
see Lance?
General.
Oh, my. Popping and locking
in the Olympics.
Yeah, but we're not going to pop and lock. We're going to.
Thank God.
The Olympics, they are like serious. I've watched a documentary on breakdance championships. It's insane. It's basically just gymnastics.
Yeah.
It's basically like rhythmic gymnastics with a dance element. But it's not like, it's not just a bunch of popping and locking. It's just, it's like musical parkour. It is insane what people can do. It's
well,
insane.
It'll be interesting to see in the Olympics. That might be fun to watch.
Oh, I would. Oh, I watched a documentary on it. I for sure would watch it in the Olympics if I watched the Olympics.
Well, you don't watch the Olympics? I do. I like some of the, yeah.
I still don't have Channel 11 even on my TV. You I didn't even know it. I flipped to there like, oh, look at this.
Can't watch
somebody was going to be on.
You can't watch any CSI.
I had recorded something for my wife. Jeff Tweedy from Wilco was going to be on Stephen Colbert. I saw that, so I said, I'll record this for my wife. She loves Wilco and Jeff Tweedy.
Likes the young 97s?
Old 97s, no. You can type up Jeff Tweedy and give it a look if you want, but no. It's not like that.
It's not like that?
No, and I'm like, I pull it up, and I'm like, oh, let me see this. He's got a new book out, How to Write a
Channel
Song.
Channel 11.
It says, Tigna has pulled this channel off your thing. I'm like, y'all ain't gotten this figured out yet?
No.
We still don't have this figured out?
And so...
This is some bull corn.
So you got to go over to Dell's house to watch the Texans this weekend.
Not driving that far to watch Texans. Yep. I'll just stream it just like Dell does.
Sit on the couch, get under the covers with some popcorn.
The Texans ain't worth a drive down the street.
What about... Oh, the Cowboys are on Fox, so you're good. Let's talk to a Cowboy fan here. John Clay Wolf joining us on ESPN 97.5. What up, John Clay Wolf?
Did you see how they got promoted from primetime Sunday to noon?
Yeah, that promotion. What a great promotion for the Cowboys.
They needed to move over for the, was it the Browns or the Bengals? I forgot.
Yeah. Well, when you're getting kicked off Sunday Night Football for the Browns or the Bengals, then you know your organization sucks.
It's true.
Yeah.
There's one good shining spot out of Dallas, Texas, and that's GiveMeTheVin.com.
That's it. That is it. Well, you're not even – you're all over now. I mean, you're national. You're big time now.
Coast to coast. Haven't gotten kicked off of L.A. yet.
You will. I got faith in you. I'm pretty sure you will.
You bet on me to do that.
I bet on you to get kicked off the station. Yes.
But you know what the good news is? It's right in my favor. It's a factor when you were building this fantasy team against me that you did not consider is the Rona. And the fact that the Rona cut into all the ad budgets on these radio stations. So – since we buy so many commercials during the week, they'd really have to think twice. I know I hate him, but do I hate him that bad?
Right. Well, yet you've been so meek on there. I mean, you talk about conforming, weak. I want you to do something.
Weakness.
Do something where they light up the phone board this weekend.
Like calling you a chronic, well, you know what I call you.
Yeah, I know. No, not to, you know, don't. Yeah, probably try not to do that. Or maybe you could just answer people's calls and tell them how much their cars are worth at GiveMeTheVin.com. GiveMeTheVin.com. That's John Clay Wolf. You can hear him tomorrow morning right here. The longest running show on ESPN 97.5. It's the John Clay Wolf show tomorrow morning. Be there.
You gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5, 849. Beat the Limo Guy is at 10 o'clock. So here's what you do. You pick five games, he picks five games. Again, he won two games this week, though, and still won. That's unbelievable. So you get to pick five games. He picks five games. You can pick the under, over, or the side. You can take the Texans minus 2.5. I think that's a good. Mitch Trubisky's going to get. JJ's going to light him up. So that's my pick. So you pick five games. He picks five games. And then if you beat him, if you have more wins than he has wins, then you will get the limo ride there and back, two Del Friscos, and a $200 gift card to Del Friscos, which is in the Galleria. I mean, talk about a nice night out with your wife during this holiday season. How wonderful is that? A couple $100 that you get to spend. You can eat really, really, really good. Eat and drink really well at Del Friscos with a couple hundy. So that's going to happen at exactly 10 o'clock. We will pick the 10th caller at exactly 9 o'clock. Exactly 9 o'clock, we will pick the 10th caller. And you, whoever is the 10th caller, you have 1 hour to study, get your picks, and play the limo guy. He's really, really poor at this. So you have a great chance of winning going to Del Frisco's. I believe we've had 4 winners this season. Now, before the season started, I said, I can go to Del Frisco's and pick you up about five gift cards. And he said, I'm not losing 5 times this year. I said, well, maybe 4. No, just get 1 because that person won. So just get the 1. I was like, oh, okay, that sounds great. You know how many trips he's had to make back now to pick up gift cards? So here's the deal is you can beat the limo guy. Now, we'll do it next week, Thursday, because I'm off on Friday. And then I think we're done. I think we might be done for the year because we're not going to be here for Christmas. We're not going to be here for New Year's.
No.
So
are we here for Christmas Eve?
We are here for Christmas Eve.
That's a Thursday.
That's a Thursday. Okay. Maybe we'll do it that weekend. That's a nice holiday. A little gift for somebody, a little $200 gift for somebody. I mean, you have to work for it, but it's not hard. It's not like we're asking you to dig a ditch for this $200. We're asking you to beat the limo guy.
And he's terrible.
He's terrible. He's awful at this. So we'll do that. 713-780. So 9 o'clock exactly. When your clock strikes 9 o'clock, then you can call. 713-780-3776 is the number on ESPN 97.5. So is Coach K... Nah, see, Coach K is the greatest person
ever. Are you about to besmirch Coach K?
Coach K is the greatest person ever, so this is going to be a tough story for me. Is there a better person than Coach K in the world? No. Okay.
I mean, I feel like there is.
Apparently, first of all, Christine Brennan says she wrote an article about how college basketball shouldn't even be played. She just, I mean, I hate that Christine Brennan telling us everything that we should do with our lives.
How come I only hear about Christine? Now, this is partly my fault because I'm not reading Christine Brennan, but I feel like every time there's an issue about things she doesn't like in sports, that's when I hear from her. Does she like sports?
I don't think she does. I really think she just, no, everybody just sit in your house and don't do anything because it's so, the Big Ten, this is the worst decision, and this is the worst thing ever to happen to the Big Ten. Really? Michigan State?
Penn State?
Really? Okay. Thank you, Christine, for that. But now she wrote a piece, and apparently she just quoted Coach K, all right? And apparently Coach K, you know, they got their ass handed to him by Illinois. So this Duke team isn't all that. And Coach K is, well, this is too hard with the pandemic to play. I would just like for the safety, the mental and physical health of players and staff to assess where we're at. Where you're at is getting your ass kicked by Illinois is where you're at, okay? And Coach Nate Oates, the Alabama coach, said this. Do you think if Coach K had lost the 2 non-conference games at home, he'd still be saying that?
You want to play the sound?
Pardon me?
You want to play the sound?
Oh, you got it?
Yeah.
Play the sound.
That's hilarious.
Can I ask you something? I just want to know your opinion. Do you think if Coach K hadn't lost the two non-conference games at home if he'd still be saying that?
Probably not.
Okay. I just wanted you to say it, not me. So, look, here's my deal on it. I think we'd have a whole lot more problems if we weren't playing games. Like, everybody talks about COVID. Here's the other thing. If COVID's so bad, I'm trying to do my best to keep the mask up. I've already had COVID, so I don't even – technically, I shouldn't have to keep it up. Nobody can get it from me. No, I'm still within the 150 days that the NCAA's recommended. I see all these other guys that haven't had it, and they're masked down the whole game. It's like they got a chin strap on. So if they're really worried about COVID, you'd think their mask would be up the whole game, right? Like, I mean, so I think some of them are using no, we should be playing, in my opinion. We 100% should be playing basketball. Nobody talks about the mental. There's a kid out of Detroit that went to another high major that I just talked to his uncle the other day because his cousin played for me in Detroit. He went to a high major school somewhere, mental health issue, came home because he was quarantined for weeks on end when he got there. Like, what are these guys going to do? If I got three daughters. Like, they need to be in school. Like, humans aren't made to sit alone in isolation for weeks and weeks on end. We got to be careful with how we do life, but you still got to do life.
Yeah, you do have to do life. But, yeah, you do have to you have to be careful, and some people are.
Well, and not only that, again, okay, Christine, everybody go home. Everybody stay safe in your room.
I went through her Twitter, like all the way back to September, just to see. And it is, the primary stories are darkest day in the history of the Big Ten in college football. Jack Nicklaus endorsing Trump and what it means for golf now. Ugh. What it means is a man who's 80 something endorsed Trump. That's what
old rich white guy endorsed Trump.
Doesn't
really
mean anything for golf. Oh. There is my the basket. There's college football has lost its way. Cutting other sports to save a buck shows how colleges are weakening there. It is nothing but it's what you're talking about. I don't know how to. It's not
she
just,
has to
it,
write. And oh, by the way, Christine, you're not the foremost authority on how all of us should live. You know what? Go ahead and stop all these kids from playing basketball. Being in school. Where are they going to go? They're going to go home. In a lot of instances, they're in a lot of instances to poor where they don't have the ability to stop. They're going to be congregating with all their friends and everything else. They're going to be in a much worse situation. Right now, these athletes are being taught how to keep themselves safe. They're being tested, which they wouldn't have any testing. And when they find out they do have it, maybe they'll stop from spreading it as opposed to being at home. I mean, it's just so unbelievable. These people that are so holier than thou and so much smarter than everyone and so worried about everybody else, it's just amazing to me. And yet they're not thinking this thing through. These kids are so much better off being in places like where they have the ability to test and keep them safe and keep them around other people who don't have it. That it just is amazing to me that they don't think this thing through. They don't. They're in a much better spot, Christine. And oh, by the way, they're young. And if they get it, in the most cases, every single case,
I get that they're
going to be okay.
I get that. By the way, I get that. I'll say this on the other side. You need to talk about I can barely do a show now with your ducktail that's growing in the back of your hair. Soon you're going to look like a Garrett. Are you going for Garrett Cole? Right now, like, what are you going for from a hair standpoint?
I don't know.
Lance McCullers? Are you growing it out?
Do you think I could?
Looks like you're headed in that direction.
You know what? I almost have Lance McCullers' hair now. And you know why? Because of Doc Lindsay.
You don't have a wolf tattoo on your arm?
No, but I got dark meat.
I'm done. He done. I'm now officially done again.
Okay. But here's the deal. I have luscious hair now, and I can do before it would have been like, you know, one of those long shaggy dogs, but with a bunch of holes, like a mangy, shaggy dog, and that would have been terrible. But now, Doc, because of Doc Linville, I got, you know what? He compared my hair to Lance McCullers, which is the greatest head of hair any human can have. And that's the kind of thing I'm getting compared to now as opposed to before, like that mangy rat. So if you're looking for those kind of Lance McCullers hair comparisons, look at Lance put a comp on me. Lance McCullers, okay? I know it's, well, and you could do that because he's a white guy. So here's the deal. If you're looking for that kind of comp, it's Doc Linville. Doc Linville does that. He's amazing. You will have hair. Go to 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.